I want you to see that short video from the beginning of the service again, the Explore God, Word on the Street, a lot of different theories about Jesus.
I'd like to think Jesus is a great person. It's a silly story. It's idolization, basically, the idea that there's a human being that can be viewed as a god.
I believe it, that the teachings of Jesus, they ring true to me. It makes sense to live that way.
Jesus, I believe, was a liberal. And I think, looking at where we're going, I think he'd be happy to see that people are becoming more and more accepting.
I think I grow more curious about that every day, and how I can be a better person, maybe by following his teachings, and maybe it will be a fit for me, and maybe it won't. But you know, I have a lifetime to figure that out.
Most theories in there don't match up with Scripture. It's interesting though. There's lots of theories about who Jesus is. And yet, most of those theories aren't new. Ever since the time of Jesus, people have been coming up with theories of trying to explain Jesus in ways that don't necessarily match what he said about himself. You know, he was only God, he only looked like a human, or he was only human, he wasn't God, he wasn't really, he was more like an angel, or all kinds of theories. There's really nothing new under the sun. But we have to look and see who is Jesus. We have to try to come and try to figure out, you know, if we're going to say that Jesus is God, why do we say that Jesus is God? And we do. We say Jesus is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship him. You know, today's readings in Philippians, that's a letter from St. Paul. And right there in the letter, it says Jesus was God or Jesus is God. And so some people say Paul made that up, that there was Jesus and the disciples, and then a little bit later, here comes Paul, and Paul wants more attention to be drawn to Jesus, and so he makes up this idea that Jesus is God. Okay, nice theory, but go back to our gospel reading. And like I was talking with the kids, when Peter sees this miraculous catch of fish, his response is to say, "Get away from me, Jesus. You're holy. I am sinful. Get away from me. You are Lord." He bows down to him and worships him as God. And Jesus doesn't stop him. If Paul made it up, then Jesus is just a really great teacher, and he should be telling Peter, don't worship me. In fact, in Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, the disciple John has this vision that he's been given by God. And one of the parts of the vision is that he sees this holy figure, and so he bows down before this holy figure. And it's an angel, and the angel says, "Don't bow down to me. Bow down only to God. Get up. Don't bow down to me." And so you would think that when Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man," you would think that if Jesus wasn't claiming to be God, he would have been saying the same thing to Peter. "Get up, don't worship me." But what do you see? You see Jesus receiving that worship. And you see Jesus then offering this gospel: do not be afraid. In fact, I am come to call all people to myself, and you're going to help me with that. You're a sinful man, but I'm going to use you anyways. This is Jesus, who is God. And the scene there with the boat and the fish and everything sounds a lot like our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah has this vision. God gives Isaiah this vision, calling him to be prophet. and Isaiah standing in this throne room of God, standing before God the Father, and he is aware of how holy God is and how soiled with sin he is. And he says, oh, woe is me. I am ruined, right? I might as well just die right here and not like, you know, I've died and gone to heaven, kind of happy. Like, I've gone to heaven and I should die because I should not be here. I'm a sinful man, and I come from a sinful people. And what does God do? God sends the angel, take a coal from the altar, touches Isaiah's lips, and says, with this I have cleansed you. I have atoned for your sin. You are forgiven, and you will go for me. Very much like what happened with Peter and Jesus. So Jesus did claim to be God. And yet, what you hear a lot today is this idea that Jesus was a great teacher. He taught a lot of good things, but I'm not going to believe that he's God. And for that, I go back to a quote from C.S. Lewis. A couple years ago, we used the C.S. Lewis book, Mere Christianity, during our Lenten series. Mere Christianity is really a series of talks that C.S. Lewis gave on BBC radio during World War II, talks about faith. C.S. Lewis was famously an atheist who then came to believe in Jesus. You've got the quote in your bulletin, and I want you to hear it. We don't actually have the tapes of C.S. Lewis saying this, but this is an actor reading what you've got there in your bulletin. Somewhere in there.
I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to.
So it's like I said with the kids. If I was teaching you and my teaching was okay, but then I also periodically said, I'm God, I'm hoping you would throw me out, right? That I would no longer be your pastor if I'm claiming to be God. You can't go and say, well, we've got this pastor, and he's an okay teacher. He also happens to think he's God, but, you know, he's an okay teacher, you know? Like, no, you would have to kick me out. And when you come to Jesus, you can't sort of say, well, I'm just going to take a little bit of what he said, and I'm going to ignore the rest. I mean, you can, but then you're really ignoring everything that Jesus said he is. He's not just a great moral example. And lots of people want to say Jesus is just a great moral example. But a great moral example wouldn't have done anything for Peter in that boat. Peter said, get away from me, I am a sinful man. And if then Jesus said, well, just follow my example. I am pure and holy, and I do things according to God's ways. Just follow me, and you're going to be okay. That's not going to help Peter that much, because Peter's already aware of his guilt. And now Peter's going to have to, what, work against his guilt? That's not very much help. That's not gospel. That's not good news. Instead, what Jesus offers is something that only God can offer, which is forgiveness. Jesus is more than a great moral teacher. Think about it this way. All right. So, we're all here together, and Jesus is here. No, wait, okay, hold on. Before I say this, this is role-playing. You don't have to move, but this is not a real thing. All right, so Jesus is here, and Jesus says, "Ah, fire! The sanctuary's on fire." All right, so then Jesus runs, right? And I won't actually open the emergency exit because it's cold out there. But anyways, Jesus goes outside the emergency exit. And it's kind of like he's showing us where we can go, right? But here's the thing. We've all got different things, like, you know, like some of us are trapped in the pews, some of us can't walk very well, some of us are starting to cough from the smoke, all kinds of things, which means you can't get up. You're not going to be able to get out that door on your own. So Jesus runs out the door, says, "Follow me, follow me. This is how you get saved from the fire." And he goes out. And then he comes back in and he says, "Why aren't you following me?" And we say, "Because we can't do it." If Jesus is a great moral teacher, or if Jesus is the one who comes to show us how to, you know, like, get ourselves to salvation, that's what it would be like. Jesus says, "Hey, just follow me, just go out the exit," and we're all thinking, "I'll never be able to do that. I will be stuck here. I can't save myself." But if Jesus is who he says he is, he doesn't run out that door and say, "Well, hope you can do it on your own." Instead, Jesus actually rushes in here when he sees there's a fire, and he takes you all out, and he dies in the process. That's what Jesus does. And because Jesus is God, he dies in the process, and he rises again to new life, and he comes to us and he says, "I'm going to give you that same kind of new life. Even though you will die one day, you will live forever." That's Jesus as God. That's Jesus as rescuer. That's Jesus as savior. And that's what Jesus taught. He's a great teacher. But his teaching includes being God. His teaching includes coming to rescue each and every one of you. And every person that you'll ever meet is someone that Jesus wants to rescue. So I'm not sending you out on these Explore God weeks. Don't want to send you out to debate with people, right? A debate isn't very helpful. I want you to be open and hear about people and learn about where they're coming from. And so sometimes people say, "Well, you know, Jesus is, you know, he's a good teacher, kind of teaches what everybody else teaches and stuff." And you just kind of have to swallow that at first because you're building a friendship, right? You're building a relationship. It's not the time just to push right back. But at some point in those conversations, when somebody says, "Well, Jesus is a good moral example, I'm just trying to follow his ways," at some point you can share the story and say, "Well, yeah, I would love to follow his ways, but I fall short all the time. And so I am so glad that he didn't just come to be a moral teacher. I'm glad he didn't just come to say, 'Here's the exit,' but he actually came in and picks me up, takes me with him." That's the message of Jesus. That's the teaching, the whole teaching of the gospel. That's what we rejoice in. That's why we worship him. And that is also why God the Father could say to Isaiah, "Do not be afraid." And Jesus could say to Peter, "Do not be afraid." Because it wasn't about them getting it all right and getting out the door themselves. It was that they didn't have to be afraid, and we don't have to be afraid, because salvation is now here. And salvation is in Jesus.